Good evening, friends. This, as you might understand, is my favorite time of the week when I am here and can share things with you, receive information, try and understand you a little more, and give you some facts that you can really enjoy and follow. And to my very special friend, Richard Presser, who is here with us also this evening.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to you all to what should be another interesting evening.
Good. And why do you think it would be interesting, Richard?
Oh, I suspect our Templar friend has got some interesting things to share with us. I just have that sense, you know?
You have that sense, yes. And for those of you who have not been following the Templars or who really don't have a lot of information about them, there is a lot of information in the public domain, and so much of it is false. And one of the reasons for that is they never put down their belief system or any of their operating procedures in writing. It was a time in the world when anything that was different from what the Roman Catholic Church taught was considered heresy, and they did not follow exactly the doctrines as laid down by the church. So
that's something of an understatement.
Yeah, they didn't want to be put on the rack and killed. So they didn't put anything in writing. You might say they stood in the background, and their work was incredibly beautiful, incredibly wonderful, and we'll be talking about that somewhat tonight because, as I said, so much of their work is hidden. And as Richard mentioned earlier, we have a Templar knight that has, you might say, put his hand up, wants to talk to Richard and myself and our beautiful and wonderful audience. And so, Richard, tell me about the energy that you were feeling at the very moment.
I've been connected with him for a few minutes. It's a beautiful energy, actually, and it's part of what made me say what I said earlier about just having a sense about this character. There's this beautiful, loving energy, also wise and actually quite playful, very, very direct, very straight up and down, very interesting kind of energy. It's not just love. Love is there. There is a power here, but it's not an overwhelming power. It is a rich, complex energy with many threads to it. Love is a key aspect to it, but as I mentioned, wisdom is just so clearly there, and this gaiety might be the best word to use. There's this joie de vivre, I guess would be another word for it. Or phrase, it's a really interesting, uplifting energy. Very exciting.
That's beautiful. And so, my friends who are listening to this, put into your mind's eyes that thought of what you think a Templar might have looked like in those days, and put your consciousness in your heart center. And hopefully, as Richard has this conversation, you also will be able to feel some of the majesty and wisdom and integrity. That's the word that comes to my mind, the integrity that these gentlemen had. And so without further talk about it, Richard, if you'd be kind enough to connect with this gentleman and give us the message that they wish to share.
Let's see what he has to say. My dear friends, it is with great joy that I come forth on this radio show with these two. It is now some time since we gave our messages to these two that have recently made it into your awareness as the videos that they have turned them into. And I wanted to begin by explaining a little as to why we came forth, and you might say tapped Carolyn on the shoulder, because tapping Richard on the shoulder is a complete waste of time. That's true. We came forth and made contact with Carolyn because we wanted to share this information with them. Firstly, I will say that it was an agreement that was made between us and them before they ever came into this lifetime, though they had no knowledge of this. And so when the time was right, when the two were working together and were, you might say, settled into their routine, we came forth to share this information. And we did this for a number of reasons. Firstly, we have a profound connection with these two, but also with so many of you who are listening to this radio show live or in the recording, because so many of our group over the years were multiple incarnations of many of the cherubim. I know a number of you have past life recollections as a Templar, and this is completely understandable because the Templars were for the most part formed at their center anyway by incarnated cherubim. Some of you understand that the cherubim have come forth at key times when key work needed to be undertaken, and the time of the Templars was one such time. Of course, there were others, such as the time of the Essenes supporting Yeshua, and many others. So many of you have connections with past lives where you were Templars also. And I know a number of you are aware of this and have shared this already with Carolyn and Richard through your emails and conversations. So it is like old home week, you might say, connecting with so many of you in this way. And it is such a joy for me to come forth in this manner to share my joy in knowing that, firstly, the work that we undertook in that time was essentially a success, and secondly, because I also know that the work that you are doing in this lifetime will also be a success. But let me not get ahead of myself. I want to begin by talking to you a little about who and what we were and why we came forth in the time that we did. There are records that describe how a small group went to Jerusalem and were given permission to, you might say, dig in the area of what was known as Solomon's Temple. And indeed, we did this. However, the reason we were digging there was not for the reasons that your history records. We were not, in fact, digging to find information or treasures from Solomon's Temple. In fact, what we were digging for were remnants, you might say, of an even older temple which resided on that site from Atlantean time. There was a temple that was actually created in Atlantis and then transported through a tunnel, you might consider a interdimensional tunnel, that transported that temple from Atlantis to that site which became Solomon's Temple. And the reason that the Templars were digging there was because, firstly, several of them could channel and were prompted to go and do this. And secondly, they, through that channeling, understood that there was key information stored in that ancient Atlantean temple, most notably carved on the pillars, which was information that they needed to gather and bring forth for the work in their time. And you might say reinvigorate some of that knowledge in the time in which we were living, about 1,000 years or so ago. And there was important information and understandings that was held on those pillars. Some of it was key sacred geometric information. Some of it was secrets about how to work with stone in the manner that was used to build many of the great walls that you see still upon your planet, in particular in South America and also in Siberia, where walls are made from these massive stones that interfit perfectly without any mortar and would be difficult, if not impossible, for even your modern equipment to lift and move. And this technology was also used to build the Egyptian pyramids, and indeed pyramids in other parts of the world. And so we actually used that information in the construction of the Gothic cathedrals, as were shared in the recordings that we gave to these two. And so we gathered that information and additional information, and indeed some treasures that were preserved there to support us, you might say, in the work that we needed to do. And so we came forth as that initial small group and began our work when we returned to Europe. As you would know, in that time, you could do no real work of any sort. You could not form a group of any size if it did not have key support from the Catholic Church. And we had an individual who had been put in place, an individual of great power within the Church, who you might say sponsored us within the Catholic Church and enabled our work. He was in a position of power in the Church, and yet he was also a deeply spiritual, mystical man who understood exactly what the Templars were about. And the key mission, if you will, that we undertook was, you might say, to reinvigorate some of the key mystical knowledge, mystical wisdom, metaphysical understandings, you might say, that had existed in those older times, both Atlantean and also bubbling up in the time of Yeshua through the Essenes. And so, in part, we were refreshing that information in the grid system and in the knowledge base of humanity. We also, as you probably know, were responsible for building the Gothic cathedrals. And the wonder of these buildings is really not appreciated in your day. These buildings, in essence, came forth from really no history in an architectural sense that led to them. It is as if these massive structures appeared out of nowhere. There was no prior buildings with these kind of structural approaches, you might say, in the buildings. But in fact, we gathered much of the information as to how to build these from those Atlantean temples. Moreover, the plan to build them was actually recorded on those pillars, and we, in fact, got our instructions on how to proceed from those Atlantean temple pillars. You may find this hard to believe, but all of this was long, long planned before we ever came forth. And so we built those extraordinary buildings, and there is a great deal of information about how we went about the building of these, what they contained, what they did to the physical body, and so on, in those recordings. And I encourage you to tap into these, because they carry great wisdom for humanity in this time. These buildings were built on key energy sites, places where ley lines of opposite energies crossed, most commonly the Michael and Mary lines. And these marked places where the energies either flowed into the ground or flowed out of the ground. And I do not plan to discuss in great detail how we went about this, as I say, because it is all in those recordings. But I do wish to mention that one of the things we built was what you might consider a pilgrimage path, a path involving seven core buildings which traveled from Spain through to Scotland. And it really was a path which involved a cathedral in most cases to activate each of the chakra points, not just the chakra points, but indeed the area of the physical body which surrounded those chakra points. And so there was an activation process, and there was also a teaching school in each of those locations. The heart of all of this, no pun intended, was Chart, where the most powerful mystical school was operating, or mystery school was operating, which formed the foundation of all that was taught. And indeed, Chart corresponded to the heart chakra in and along this path. And I mention this to you because what is deeply hidden from your history recordings is that there were many, many thousands of pilgrims who walked that path, who traveled along through those cathedrals, and you might say did the study that was necessary. If you had the time, you could invest some two or more years on this journey to build the true mystical understanding, the true liberation of the physical form, you might say, which culminated in that wonderful little chapel known as Roslyn Chapel in Scotland. And if you examine the steps of Roslyn Chapel, you will see they are deeply worn. And this will only occur when there's been a lot of foot traffic, as indeed there was in that time. And of course, your history books do not reveal this. And it was done completely without the knowledge of the Catholic Church. It is no surprise that ultimately we were stamped out, you might say, partly because of the wealth that we gathered and partly because the Catholic Church became aware that we were involved in things that were not entirely in alignment with their doctrines. And so our reign was relatively short, but in so many ways very successful indeed. We introduced so much which changed the way of life in Europe at that time and indeed beyond. Perhaps one of the most powerful tools that we introduced was the notion of the letter of credit. If you think about it, someone who was either undertaking trade or was going on a pilgrimage of some sort had to carry with them all of the valuables, you might say, that they needed to be able to purchase their lodgings and food and supplies of any sort that they might need on that trip. And needless to say, this exposed them to robbery and so on. And this happened so often in those days. It was very difficult to make a major pilgrimage. And so when people made those trips, they also had to have a high level of fortification, you might say. They needed protection from robbers. And so we introduced the notion of the letter of credit, which meant the individual could lodge assets with their local Templar group, you might say, and carry an encoded letter of credit, which would allow them to get their supplies along the way. That letter of credit, for reasons I will not go into other than to say that it was encoded, meant that if someone stole that letter of credit, it was of no use to them. And so there is in your records a story that we came forth to protect pilgrims, and indeed that is true, but not in the manner that your history records. We were not protecting pilgrims in the sense of guarding the travel paths that they might travel, but rather we relieve them of having to carry so much by way of gold and other precious possessions with them to pay for their journey. They simply had a letter of credit, which was worthless to a robber. So not only did this make it safe for pilgrims, but it indeed transformed the nature of trade within Europe and beyond in our time. So you might say that simple step acted as a powerful civilizing step for much of Europe. This is forgotten today. So much has been written about us, which is for the most part inaccurate, because as Carolyn mentioned, our key practices, our key knowledge was never written down, because it would have meant we were rapidly brought before the Inquisition. And so we built those extraordinary Gothic cathedrals with the approval of the Catholic Church, because they carried key elements that they wished to see in them, and yet in addition carried great secrets, great levels of encoded information that those who had the keys could access and utilize. There were so many secrets encoded into those buildings, it is almost impossible to describe it all. And some of this is also discussed in those recordings that I mentioned. So I wanted to give you a bit of a sense of who the Templars were. And indeed, in essence, we were great spiritual beings, spiritual leaders, incarnations of those beings that have represented spiritual leadership on this planet since the fall in Atlantis, and indeed prior to that point. And the other key reason that I wanted to come forth and speak with you was because, as a result of the changed energies on the planet, it is possible for you to take advantage of the power and the tools that are encoded into those cathedrals and utilize this within your own home today. This is also all explained in the material that is contained in those videos. And so, in a way, the work that we did then was important in that time, but also is important in your time, not only for the reason that I have mentioned, but in fact, we built those buildings to enhance the energy flows in and out of those key energy points on the planet. And so they are actually playing a role in the preparation of the planet for this beautiful transition that is in your very near future. So, my friends, I wanted to just give you this sense of who and what we were, why we came forth, and as I said, tapped Carolyn on the shoulder, and some of the threads of the information that we shared, and why we shared it, and what it means to you today in this beautiful and precious time in which you live. The work that we did then was really focused upon preparing for the time that you are now in, and we are so excited to see the pieces coming into place, the connections that have been made between so many of the cherubim and these two, just as indeed those connections were made in our time. And so, my friends, I shall end this transmission and await your questions.
Thank you so much, the two of you. I would like to mention to those that are listening to this wonderful program that I feel that most of you, if not all of you, have had some kind of connection to the work of the Templars, either being a Templar yourself, or connected with them very closely, or followed them during the times that they lived upon Earth. And so you might have had dreams. You might have had your intuition prompt you in some form that you belonged to this group or were very closely connected to the group, or perhaps were even protected by this group as they protected not just travelers, but those who lived upon the land and were threatened by invading armies. So their work was really great among humanity. And you might feel through your own intuition, your connection. So the reason that I mention this to you is they were not dreams, I do not believe. I think they were actual promptings of your soul to be connected to this gentleman that is speaking to us. So call in your questions. An hour seems like a long time until we become involved in the questions and answers. We find that it's really a very short period of time. So if you feel so prompted now that you feel some connection, call in your question, because the answer would probably be of assistance to you, but it would also be of assistance to those many others who are not able to call in, those who listen to a recording or are just not able to be present at this moment. I feel and have this great sense that there are many out there right now who really did have a very strong connection to the Templar tradition on many levels. So do not ignore your promptings, but answer them by calling in your questions. And thank you so much. And I would like to ask this particular question to the gentleman who is giving us this information. You gave us some idea of your mission and the work that you did. Can you give us a few words about what we have to look forward to, what is evolving right now, presently, upon Earth? There is a lot of confusion, a lot of discord. So give us some of your wisdom right now as to what is evolving. Thank you.
You live in a time when there is great disruption upon the planet. There is inevitably warmongering. There is destruction of so many civilizations in the name of so-called democracy, which in fact has nothing to do with democracy, but is about bringing forth totalitarian control regimes and destruction of ancient cultures upon the planet. This has been unfolding in abundance for this last 200 or so years in particular, but especially in the last 100 years. And you have been told that those who wish to control humanity will feel like they are on the point of succeeding, only to have that success snatched from them. And that, my friends, is what is happening here. So do not be overly perturbed by what you see as warmongering and lies and deceit that is so evident to perhaps all of you who listen to this recording or this show live, because you are of that section of humanity that is not caught inside the matrix, you might say. If you were, you would not be listening to this material. And so you are aware, at least on some level, of the things of which I speak. Do not be perturbed by these things. Indeed, expect more warmongering and violence and attempts to destroy a large part of humanity. Expect more of this, because it is the way of those who are driving their agenda on the planet at this moment. But also know that you have on your doorstep these changes that will transform your world and your experience of it. Understand that this is unfolding in this precious time, and indeed it is no accident. The timing of all of this was long, long ago planned. All of this is occurring at this moment when you are within this alignment with galactic center. And this is a key moment, a moment that was recorded in detail within the oral traditions of so many groups of humanity. This is part of what the dark wish to stamp out when they stamp out these cultures, is to stamp out the true knowledge of the nature of life and the nature of what it means to be a human being. They are working and have worked very hard to convince humanity that they really are born, live a single life, and die, perhaps with some salvation at the end of it. But that, in essence, is the nature of the human life. And it is such a distortion of things. The knowledge of advanced civilization upon your planet has been carefully and thoroughly destroyed. But there are threads that have emerged and are emerging even more strongly in this time. the existence of Göbekli Tepe in Turkey is an undeniable piece of evidence that advanced civilization existed on this planet over 12,000 years ago. Those massive stone structures that are being excavated demonstrate great knowledge of astrology and astronomy, and also evidence of advanced civilization. And they simply cannot be denied. It was one of the reasons they were left there as a marker for humanity in this time. It is a wake-up call. And of course, there are many such wake-up calls spread across the planet, because there was advanced civilization across the entire planet. And so you live in this time when these dark forces are doing their level best to destroy evidence of that history and failing, just as they are failing in their attempts to completely control humanity. Do not be concerned by the fact that more lives will be lost in this process. There is a great value placed upon individual human life in your world, and I do not wish to diminish that value, but remind you that the true value is in the soul that occupies that physical form, and that soul is never destroyed. And so some have come forth incarnated to participate in the challenges and difficulties that are arising, and accept that they will cross over in that process. It is so easy to get caught up in the human drama when really you should more accurately view it as a play, a stage play, you might say. Playing out experiences, living them out. When you are in the middle of them, it seems so convincing, so absorbing, as if that is all there is. And the experience of living in those powerful emotional bodies, in that linear time experience, disconnected from the realities which surround you in so many other dimensions and timelines and so on. It seems so total and so real. And I am not criticizing any of you. I am simply suggesting that you stand back a little and be more an observer of the drama. Be, you might say, a participant in life, but do not take yourself to be that life in its totality. And as you do that, you put yourself in a more powerful position to, you might say, experience your own life and also contribute to others in the living of theirs. So you live in this beautiful, special time that we were helping to prepare for, just as so many other groups helped to prepare for, including Yeshua and Mary Magdalene and all of the Essenes that surrounded them. So note that this will unfold, and indeed it is unfolding, even though it may look more dire before it changes for most of humanity. But those of you who are connected to this work will be the first to witness this unfolding. Some of you have experienced this unfolding in dreams and visions and in meditation. Some of you have connected with so many of your past lives and understand the truth of the things that I am saying. So accept these things. Accept the evidence of your lives and the experiences that have come forth within them as to the truth of who and what you are in this beautiful time in which you live. All is on track, my friends, even though at times it seems that it is not. And it is so, so close to unfolding in all of its fullness within your experience.
Thank you so much. Jill from Virginia is on line one, and I would like to thank you, Jill, for calling in early. What is your question, dear?
Hi, Carolyn and Richard. I have a question, maybe it's two parts. One is related to a past life of mine as a Templar, and if they just resonate with everything that has been said tonight. And in my readings, it's just everything's confirming that, you know, like I'm just vibrating right now really strongly.
So you're feeling like you were a Templar at some point in your past life. Is that what you're stating?
Yes, and especially with the trips to Israel and creating a portal and digging under King Solomon's temple.
So you want confirmation of this? Is that what you're...
Yes.
The kernel that you're after. You want confirmation to know if you were really a Templar yourself and
yes.
Digging under the wall of Solomon's temple. Well, I
yes.
hope you had a big shovel. Richard, do you have
sure,
an answer for Phil?
You were indeed a Templar, Jill, but you were not part of the initial group that went to Jerusalem, though there was not only one group of Templars that worked at that site. Indeed, there were follow-up groups who returned to the site to complete further work, and you did indeed participate in one of those follow-up groups, and so that is why you have these recollections.
Wow, that's awesome. So I'm actually going to Israel in May with my family and plan to be in Jerusalem and go, you know, to those sites as that are available to go to now. Is this trip somehow related to perhaps activating this portal or something?
There is no activation that you will be doing, Jill. Rather, what you will be doing is reminding yourself of your past life experiences. You have a sense that there is a portal in this location that you were in some way involved with, and this is not strictly accurate. You do identify with the fact that this is a powerful location on the planet. It is why the Atlantean Temple was placed there and why it is such a sacred site for so many of humanity, both for Jewish people, for Christian people, and for Islamic people. It is a traditional site, you might say, that has importance for all of these three religions, which really are so closely connected to each other. They carry such common threads at their base. And so you really are returning to prompt your past life connections, because of course not only were you a Templar, but you were also an Essene living in that area. And if you have any understanding of the importance and the relevance of these two lifetimes, it is also telling you that you are an incarnated cherubim that has returned with so many, and why you feel this vibration. It is the sensitivity that you carry, and I encourage you to connect more directly with these two to understand what all of this means for you and for this time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Very useful information. It's my understanding that we can work with the energies of the different Gothic cathedrals in our own home. In other words, we don't have to travel to the individual cathedrals like we did years ago. Can you give us a little idea as to how we can accomplish this?
It is true that the changed energy upon the planet allows you, as I said earlier, to work with the key seven cathedrals from your own homes. And the information as to how to do this is provided as part of the material that accompanies the videos that the two of you have made available. The procedures are provided as part of the associated documentation. And it is a relatively simple process. And as I say, the tools that you need are contained in that material. This will help anyone who wishes to undertake some energetic preparation and to help themselves awaken more of their spiritual skills and abilities and to heal themselves on so many levels. These are the purposes of these cathedrals and how you might use them. Part of what you are doing is not only connecting with these buildings, but the energy flows that they contain, not only the healing work, but also the activations that they contain. As you know, but few of your audience perhaps knows, is that some of the Templar Knights actually used this pathway to ascend in their time. Ascension was not a common thing in that time, and there are very few people who have had a mechanism to master this process since the fall in Atlantis some 13,000 years ago. But this path that was built by the Templars using the Gothic cathedrals was a path that cleansed and activated the body in a manner which enabled this. Indeed, some of the Templars actually ascended to levels beyond the angelic realm. It might be hard for you to imagine this, but indeed it is so. And they remain in those dimensions if they have not moved on from them. So they not only did their soul ascend, but indeed they took their physical bodies with them. They disappeared, you might say, from the experience of those around them. And they planned this, and they executed it with great skill and precision.
Amazing information. Thank you. Vera from California is online too. Welcome, Vera, and your question.
Hi. Hi, Carolyn. Thank you. Hi, Richard.
Hi, dear.
My question is that I have always felt that I had very strong ties to the Cathars and the time of the, you know, Albigensian Crusades. And so my question was, how were the Cathars tied in with the Templars?
That's a very good question, Vera. Richard, did you hear that question?
I did.
Thank you.
It is a good question that you ask, because there was a very powerful connection between the Templars and the Cathars. Indeed, there was a great deal of overlap, you might say, in terms of their understandings and their approaches. Both of them were practicing the true teachings, you might say, of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. They were both deeply mystical groups who understood how to go within and to practice the you might say, spiritual skills and abilities that opened up when one did this in the correct manner. They understood the truth of who and what they were. They both had the ability to travel the cosmos, to connect with the totality of their souls, to connect with past lives, to connect with their creator. All of them had this ability, and they shared this knowledge. Indeed, the Templars, some of the Templars were present during the last stand, you might say, of the Cathars, and took key information down the backside of that place of the last stand. So these two were very closely connected, and indeed the cherubim came forth as part of both of those groups. So it is an interesting question that you ask, and as I say, they were indeed very closely connected, both in a spiritual sense and in the reality of their lives. They understood what each was doing, and they communicated far more closely than your historical records might convey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, I felt that that there was a very strong tie. Thank you for that.
When you say that you felt that, it's, I'd like to comment on that a little bit. People are prompted through intuition, and many times we'll discount that. And I would just like to add, pay attention to these promptings that you receive and look into them and study them, because I do believe it's your soul trying to open up a new avenue for you so that you understand better who and what you are. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have, yes, dear, we have a caller. Ursula from New York is on line 3. Welcome, Ursula, and your question, dear.
Hi. Thank you. Two parts. Very briefly, if you can tell me if I have any connection to Templars or in some way if I was connected. But also the second part, if there was any continuation, a line, if you may, of people or incarnations or something that exists today that's linking to your group, in a sense, like if there was any kind of small continuation, if there's anything present right now.
Well, I'm not quite understanding what you mean by that second part. Could you give us a little explanation of what
you're... Can I try?
Sure.
I think what, is it Ursula?
Yes.
I think what I understand you to be asking, Ursula, is you're asking the Templar that I'm speaking to whether there is any connection between the Templars as they were then and any groups which exist upon the planet now. Is that what your question is?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. And so the first one was, were you connected to the group, yes?
Yes, thank you.
Cool. You were indeed one of the Templars. You are indeed connected back to that group. And your question is very relevant because there is a group that I have mentioned that formed the heart of the Templars and indeed are present in this time, and that is a group of cherubim that come forth to incarnate at key times. This might sound a little bizarre to you, but there really are three groups, you might say, of cherubim angels. The first group are responsible for looking after the Akashic records, which are the records of the journeys of all souls. The second group are responsible for shepherding vibration around the cosmos and the return of those vibrations with the associated messages and so on that they carry. And if you understand the nature of creation, everything is created from vibration. And so you might say the cherubim are responsible for sustaining the context within which creation occurs, and the recording of all of which occurs in creation in the Akashic records in the center of the cosmos. Needless to say, this is a very important role, and a role that is not well understood. And there is a third smaller group of some 20,000 that come forth at key times when there are, you might say, transitions in consciousness that occur. And the time in which you find yourselves is one such transition time. And so a significant number of those 20,000 are currently incarnated upon the planet, and they are fingers of consciousness from the same monads that came forth as Essenes, the same monads that sent fingers of consciousness forth to be Templars or Cathars in that time, and have now come forth in this time when this transition is due to unfold in your experience, as I and so many others have come forth to express. And so you are indeed part of that group, dear one. You came forth as a Templar then, and you have come forth now, and you are doing more work than you realize to assist in that preparation. So I also encourage you to connect with these two, to email them and gain a better understanding of who and what you are and why you are here and why you are drawn to connect with the work of these two. It is no accident that this is occurring.
Thank you. Maria from California is on line four. Welcome, Maria, and your question, dear.
My question, Caroline, first, I think that I am just taking an opportunity that is so rare and so wonderful as to being able to ask, you know, if I was a Templar. I feel an affinity, and huge affinity with the Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, so I am assuming that I was with them. But I have no affinity with the Templars, even though right now I'm learning so much about them through the CDs or DVDs. So can I ask if this wonderful Templar will answer my question as if I was part of the group?
You wish to know if you were part of the Templars?
Yeah.
Is that your question? Okay.
Of course you were a Templar, Maria. How could you question it? You are a cherubim, as you know. You have come forth at these key times, and you are here once more, as is the way of things, and you were there in multiple incarnations as a Templar. Trust yourself, dear one. There are no accidents in any of this.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anything that you can tell me as to how I can be better at my work in anchoring these beautiful energies and helping humanity?
That's a beautiful question, Maria. Thank you.
My dear Maria, understand that you are doing all you need do. Be at peace and trust yourself. You know the honesty and the integrity with which you live and which you operate. Do not doubt yourself. Trust that you are doing all you need to do.
Thank you.
Wow.
Richard, there seems to be a lot of information in the Templar Times. Can you mention to those who are listening how they can get other information about the Templars from one of our websites?
I think the best thing is I will put a link to the website in the email when I send out this recording. It's a bit of a long-handled website name that I actually don't have in my head. So I will send out a link to it in the email when I send it out. And if any of you are listening and are not on our mailing list to get that, then I encourage you to go to our 2012countdown.com website and enter your details so that you receive that recording and the link to that website. So there's more information on that website is perhaps the best place to go.
Yes, I think that would be very useful. And
the real guts of the information that they gave us is, of course, in those recordings. There is so much stuff there. There's some 5.5 hours of material that they gave us, and that's after a lot of editing out of silent bits and so on. There's a lot of information stacked in there.
And the gentleman that we work with, Adam, located in Greece, has done such a magnificent job of putting it together with just beautiful graphics.
He has.
I wanted to mention that.
Yes, he's done a great job.
So this isn't just information that is written down that you read laboriously, but rather something with beautiful pictures and a gorgeous flow to it all.
I think a key thing to mention, this is me, not the Tim, this is Richard, is that the key reason that we put them out like that rather than just put them out as text is because the messages, the voice carries the energy of the Templars. I know some of you experience that in these radio shows. I've had a number of comments from people about feeling the energies of the individuals, or in some cases feeling like it's actually that individual speaking rather than me. And this is part of the reason that we put that material out in that form, because you experience the energy of the message, which is way beyond just the written words. The written words carry an energy also, but it's nowhere near the same as what's carried by the voice.
Richard, I have to say that time marches by so quickly, and we're at the end of the show.
Oh, it's marched right by, so I see.
Indeed. I want to thank you and the Templar that came to give his information. And I'm yearning to hear more from him. So maybe what we can do is have him or one of his friends come another time.
Indeed. And thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, all of you who called in and participated in the show tonight.
Yes.
Until next time.
Goodbye for now, all of you, and go with our blessings.